Let me invite you to stand, take your Bibles, and repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life.
I want God's will to be done in my life.
I want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
I want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
I want to be like Jesus. Let us pray. Loving Father, we have spoken together as one. We want to know you better. We want to love you. We want to be like Jesus. And as we open your word this morning, I ask that you would lift us from these mundane things of this old world, and our focus would be on you and in your presence. And we would leave this place with glad hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you sit down, just walk across the aisle or turn around. Just greet someone this morning. Wish them God's blessings. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
My sermon this morning really is a question. How much do you love Jesus? Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me this morning or what I'm saying to think that I'm going to trivialize the love of God. Because I'm not. I want to use my wife today to help illustrate a truth. When I fell in love with Donna back in 1965, I remember the first time I saw her, and there was something happened in my heart that I've not experienced since, and it's still alive and well today. I crashed her party. I wanted to know this girl. I had a desire to know this girl. And after we were dating, after we had somewhat of a quasi-commitment to each other, the reason I say that is because, you know, it was, for some time, it was kind of on and off thing. You know, it was kind of an on-off relationship. You know, the commitment. But the point that I'm trying to make is that a relationship, as that relationship grew, the one thing on my mind more than anything else was Donna. I would think about Donna when I went to bed. I would think about Donna when I woke up. I would think about Donna during the day, and I would call Donna during the day. In the evening, I would go and pick Donna up, and I would spend until it was time to go to bed and go home. But it seems like my whole life was tied up with Donna. Now, that's an experience that I've had with no one else. Now, for almost 42 years, that love relationship has grown, and it is good. When we truly understand the gospel message, we come to know God and we come to love God. Now the question, what I'm asking you this morning is, what do you understand about this relationship? What is your love relationship with God? Now, when I study the scriptures, it talks about Christ is coming again, the groom is coming for the bride. It's like in a court relationship. It's a marriage, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're all going to be there, but we're the bride. So, to help you understand this relationship, this love relationship with God, I had to talk about the relationship that I have with my Donna. And to help you understand the relationship that I have with Donna and my Lord, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Psalms today, because we are going to look at David's love relationship with God. There was a country and western song that was sung, oh, I don't know, it was a long time ago, but there was a phrase in there, to know him is to love him. But folks, I don't believe that phrase started with the guy who sang that song. I believe that expression must have started with God. David loved God. He was so smitten by God day by day that often he put his gratitude into song and verse. Now, maybe you can reflect upon your relationship with your spouse or your girlfriend. I want to tell you, folks, I was smitten by Donna. Listen to David, Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and stand before him? That's not Psalm 42? How about 27:4? This is 47:2 then. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfection and meditating in his temple.
Amen.
Now, the reason I use Donna as an illustration, because first when I met her, you know, I would meditate. Donna didn't have to be in my presence, but I could see her. I could visualize what Donna would do, or if Donna was here. It's all in my mind. Of course, we can't see God, but we can experience God. The longer David knew God, the more he found him to be absolutely wonderful. David writes in Psalm 63. Open your Bibles to Psalm 63. Look at verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. How does that read in the King James Version? Somebody read it out loud to us. So my flesh longeth for thee. My body, it says, longs for you in the NIV. How about somebody have a clear word? How does that verse read there? The clear word, Jack Blankles. Nobody have a clear word today? Okay. Verse 2. I have seen you in the sanctuary, and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the riches of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watch of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wing. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I stay close to you. Your right hand upholds me. That was kind of like the relationship that David has with God, that when I was young, that I had with Donna. I taught of her all the day long, even on my bed at night when I alone, I taught about Donna. Now, let me tell you this. As the love relationship grows and it matures, do you know the last thing we do at night is talk with our Heavenly Father? And if I wake in the night on my bed, do you know what I'm meditating on? My Heavenly Father. A lot of times when I sleep, I don't count sheep. I repeat memory verses. And I will fall asleep in the middle of a memory verse. If I don't wake up in the night and I go sleep all through the night, do you know, or whatever, if I wake up in the night, if I don't wake up until morning, do you know what the very thing is on my mind when I wake up? It's completing that memory verse. And folks, I want to tell you, I have never failed to sleep comfortably at night when I quote texts from Scripture, texts of Scripture. He puts me to sleep and I have a sweet, sweet rest. He says, I lay awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. I think how much you have helped me. I sing for joy in the shadow of your protecting wings. I follow close behind you. Your strong right hand holds me secure. Now, I don't know about your relationship, but with my relationship, folks, wherever the home is, there is a certain security right there.
Yeah.
Now, even in living in our RV, I can come home and I can close that door. I can forget about the mundane things of this earth, and there's some security there because Donna is there. Now, there's nothing that brought me or brings me more joy than to come home and Donna is humming a song, maybe by the kitchen sink. We don't have a oven. I miss her homemade bread. By the way, she tried to make homemade bread this week at the church, and it didn't turn out good. The smell was good, but anyhow, can't you imagine, as a cold winter evening, to come home and there's fresh bread that's just taken out of the oven, and that smell is just wafting through the whole house. You come in and you feel totally secure. The winds can blow, the rain and can beat against the window panes, but you're secure at home. Now, I have learned a long time ago that my real security comes from God, but I thank Him every day for Donna. David loved God, and he appreciated how God rescued him and provided for his safety in time of trouble. In Psalm 59, verse 16, turn back to that chapter. Verse 16. Somebody read verse 16. This David praising God for, his rescue and how God provided safety in a time of trouble. Verse 16.
But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble.
Yes. You know what God did for David? God can do for us, or is willing to do for us, even in these times. Psalm 61, verses 2 through 4. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Now, folks, my hope is not in our home. Our hope is not in our friendships. Although that is mighty good, my hope is in the coming of the Lord and what He promises to do for us. I long for Jesus to come. From the ends of the earth I will cry to you for help. For my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. I wait quietly before God, for my salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I shall not be moved, or I shall not be shaken. David also loved God for His wisdom and His practical laws. In Psalm 119:97, verse 29, and verse 167 and 168, and then Psalm 19, verse 7 and 8. It says, "Oh, how I love your law. I think about it all the day long. Your decrees are wonderful. No wonder I obey them. Yes, I have obeyed your decrees, and I love them very much. I obey your commandments and decrees because you know everything I do." The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are clear, giving insight to life. Now, there are those who look at the Ten Commandments as something that is outdated. But the Ten Commandment law is not outdated. Amen. Folks, if mankind would learn to live by that Ten Commandment law, there would be no strife in your homes. Amen. There would be no war going on. The law of the Lord is perfect. Do you want to be robbed of contentment? You want to be robbed of enjoying a good night's sleep? You go lie about your neighbor or steal something from your neighbor. And maybe your other neighbor saw you over there in his barn or something. Do you think you can sleep well at night if you've taken something from your neighbor? And especially if you think somebody saw you do it. Well, you would be sleeping with one eye open. But not to steal, not to bear a false witness, not to, take advantage of one another. You can lie down, you can have peace at night. Folks, the Ten Commandment law is a transcript of God's character. And we want to have God's character, don't we?
Yeah.
We should love the Lord with all our hearts. We should also love His law. David found God to be faithful and dependable in Psalm 33:4 and 143:13. For the word of the Lord holds true, and everything he does is worthy of our trust. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule generation after generation. The Lord is faithful in all he says. He is gracious in all that he does. We go through crucibles. We have trials and tribulation in our lives, but folks, even in these trials and tribulations, let's learn to praise God. Amen. He is good.
Yes.
Because we will come out at the other end better people. We would be more like Jesus. David was spellbound with God as creator. David wrote in Psalm 95:1-7. He says, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us give a joyous shout to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Let us sing him psalms of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. He owns the depths of the earth and even the mightiest mountains there is. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the sheep under his care. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearful and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well." David is spellbound with God. David is writing, he's singing. It's like love letters. You know, I get on a Christmas card or a Valentine, and yeah, I've even write something. You know, roses are red, violets are blue. Did you ever write that? Psalm 139:7-12. David is in awe of God's omnipresence, his ability to be everywhere present. He says, "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get far away from your presence." And I can liken that to Donna. Folks, I'm traveling down the highway. Not only do I think of my Lord and sing to him, but I also think of my Donna. At the beginning of the morning, I pray for her as she prays for me. At the end of the evening, as I pray for her, she prays for me. And during the rest of the time, we talk.
Fellowship.
Well, yeah, we fellowship, but we have small talk too, you know. Talk to God anytime. Standing at the sink, riding on the highway, sing God's praise, wherever you can do it. "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to you." David was amazed by God's omnipotence, his knowledge. Psalm 139:1-6. "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You both proceed and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know." David loved his Lord. David revered God for his incredible power. Psalm 97:5. 66 verses 2 and 3, 63, 2 and 3, and 145, 3 through 6. The mountains, this is God's power. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord, all the earth. However awesome are your... The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. How awesome are your deeds. Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shout your name in glorious song. I have seen you in the sanctuary and gazed up on your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better to me than life itself. How I praise you. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. His greatness is beyond discovery. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. I will meditate on your majesty, glory, splendor, and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Folks, it would do well because we love God so much that we would take every opportunity. In fact, we should make opportunities, especially to teach our children to revere God, to know God. We should take every opportunity to let our friends and neighbors know about God and His love. David feared God for His great authority in Psalm 119, verse 120, Psalm 76, 7, Psalm 90, verse 11, Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, and Psalm 34, 8 through 11. Listen to this. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. You yourself are to be feared, and how many stand in your presence when once you are angry? Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. Maybe David read the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Maybe he read about the flood. Maybe he understood. Well, whatever. David certainly had great respect and feared God's great authority. He says, continuing on, he says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. O fear the Lord, you as saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. We're having a wonderful time at our prayer meetings on Wednesday morning. Folks, God is an awesome God, and He's preparing a people for these last days. We're studying together the book Last Day Events. We just dealt with the shaking last week. You know, what's going to happen in the church? But folks, I am confident that by His grace that He loves every one of us. But the question is, do you love Him? Only you can answer. Only you can answer that. Oh, as I reflect on the Christmas season, it's not about the commercialism. It's not about who is right and wrong. Christmas is about Jesus. We can talk of His birth, but that's 2,000 years ago. I'm concerned about the now, the relationship that I can have with Him today, the comfort, the peace, the contentment, to you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To talk with Him about anything and everything. And to have an attitude that I should so live my life, or I should take every opportunity that I will tell others about the advent of our Lord and Savior. Not as a... We can tell them about as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, but I want to tell them about Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If ever there was an exciting time to be alive, to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, it certainly has got to be in these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, folks, I think about evangelists like Fortis Dedemore. I think about Elder H.M.S. Richards. He ordained me to the gospel ministry. But Elder Richards loved the Lord. And I think, what would he be doing today? Or what would, you know, if he was 35 today, you know, or had that kind of vitality, what would he be proclaiming? Jesus is coming again. Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. So folks, it's a question. Do you love Jesus? How much do you love Jesus? God makes it very simple in Jeremiah 29 verses 13 and 14. He says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord of hosts." We have no excuses. Seek the Lord, search for Him, and He'll find us. He knows where we are. We can have that love relationship with Him, and that we can grow in His grace. And as we take advantage of this holiday season, our focus must be on Him, on Jesus. God bless each one of you, is my desire and my prayer. Amen.